How do you guys listen to podcasts?
I don't know. How do you listen to podcasts? Three toes?
I do it all analog. It's on records.
Really?
145 at 145.
Look at that. Well, there's lots of options out there, but today we're going to be talking about a pretty special one to me, and that one is called Stitcher Premium.
Okay.
So a lot of times when you listen to a podcast, they will go in and they'll give you an ad on something. I don't know if it's like a sofa mattress or stamps.com, et cetera, et cetera. And you can just kind of tell they're just going through the motions. In this case, legit, we are advertising for something that I believe in and I've been a subscriber of for probably a year now. It's Stitcher Premium, and I absolutely love the service. Originally, I was like, what the hell am I going to pay for podcasting for? But yeah, it turns out this particular company, this particular group, has access to an insane amount of podcast material. I originally pulled the trigger because one of my favorite all-time podcasts, which is called Super Ego,
yeah,
went over there. Their entire back catalog, it's sort of this riffed comedy bits, very original, very creative, very funny. And then when it went there, I was like, well, I need it. And so I got the service. What I found was it's paid for itself back beyond that in how much stuff it has. And the one specific thing I'd like to call out is they have tens, I would say hundreds, but probably hundreds of comedy albums. So as a person who does a lot of commuting, I'm always looking for something new and something interesting to listen to. The comedy albums that they have are phenomenal. And
I had no idea they were on there.
Huge amounts. And it's the type of stuff that I would actually pay for normally, yeah, if I like a particular comedian. A classic one that we've talked about before, Kyle Kinane, his back catalog's, yeah, on there.
Nice.
So for me, it originally seemed weird because so much of what we get from podcasting is free. But Stitcher Premium just opens the doors, and it opens the doors even further into back catalogs for podcasts that you can only currently get kind of modern like episodes of. I have not wavered in my allegiance to them. They're great.
Cool. You know what? So you talked to me about it, and I signed up last week just because I can watch ad-free versions of podcasts I already listened to, like Conan,
yep,
O'Brien Needs a Friend, which is an amazing podcast. My Favorite Murder, that Wolverine, The Lost Trail is on there. You don't got to listen to ads. It's amazing.
And that's what I wanted to try because they also have original material, and that's like an original scripted show, which that's one I've been meaning to check out. So I'll hit that one soon.
Nice. Yeah.
But how much does it cost, you might ask? So for only $4.99 a month, or the cost of a beef quesarito from Taco Bell, or for $34.99 a year. Pretty cheap, but it seems like you get a pretty good selection of options there.
Yeah.
So if you guys do want to go and sign up, go to stitcher.com/premium to sign up today.
It's forward slash.
Is it? Fuck you in the forward backslash. Not you. I just can never tell the difference. Go to stitcher.com/premium to sign up today and use promo code Asteroid Factory for 1 month free on your monthly plan. Booyah!
That's do perfect. It.
Do it.
Go to stitcher.com/premium to sign up today and use promo code Asteroid Factory for 1 month free on your monthly plan.
And now a deleted flashback scene from El Camino, the Breaking Bad movie starring Carrot Top.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, let's do a knock-knock joke. Those are cool. You, sir, what's Mr. White? You just say knock-knock to me, okay?
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in. I am not in danger, Carrot Top. I am the danger. A guy opens a door and gets shot, and you think that of me? No. I am the one who knocks. Knock, knock.
Hey there, guys and gals. Welcome to another episode of the Asteroid Factory podcast, where our nerd knowledge is on point.
It is.
We're your host, James Von Doom.
And I'm Chewy.
And I'm Three Toes of Fury.
Mwah, mwah.
Yeah, he's not here.
Yeah, I'm going to have a good time messing with that guy now. He can't defend himself.
We're going to, I think I might ask a poll question at the end of this.
How much better is it without Three Toes?
I'm going to ask a poll question internally
to
me and Von Doom. That will most likely infuriate Three Toes. So this one's for you, Three Toes. Anyway, we're going to be talking about best movies to watch during October.
best movies to watch during the Halloween season.
Yeah.
But first, let's get into some news. I'm not sure if you heard this news. Just dropped today. I'm going to throw that little piece of paper in front of you.
What?
Yeah. China has canceled the release of Tarantino's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Are you shitting me?
Yeah. And now, we don't usually talk political on this podcast, and we won't talk political on this podcast. However, I wanted to cover this because it's funny that the reason... So here, I'll read a little bit. It says, the critically acclaimed movie starring Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt has been approved for release in China on October 25th. But regulators abruptly reversed course and indefinitely put it on hold. It was going to be his first release in China, proper release, and it was going to push the hopefully push the title's worldwide box office total past 400 million. So it was going to get it to where it needed to be. Now, people are saying that it's most likely due to Bruce Lee's daughter, Shannon Lee, who made a direct appeal to China's National Film Administration asking that it demand changes to her father's portrayal in the movie before it gets released in China. So this kind of falls under that NBA, South Park, Hollywood, China tie thing. So,
yikes.
Yeah. Do you know South Park is banned in China now?
Oh.
Completely?
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm shocked it was ever allowed to air there.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really have too many things to say about it other than...
I still haven't seen the movie, and I was really hoping I would be able to fly out to Shanghai to check it out.
It's not that surprising, because I think if you really did some research, I think you'd find out that most movies that are released there are probably very highly...
Censored
or edited. Yeah. But it is kind of scary that we have a lot of China's money in our system, pushing things to where they need to be.
Yeah. Oh, no, for sure.
Yeah. I'm sure Feige's has some Chinese hands in his pockets. What?
Oh, man, no, I was going to... I had a thought. I had to choke it down.
Yeah. I mean, do you have any thoughts on it or no?
I mean, it's kind of boring. As soon as you said it, I was like, oh, my God. Like, you know, I know we talked about this on the podcast when we talked about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, not specifically it being banned in China, but, you know, like that was an issue.
Yeah.
And it is hilarious. Like, it's not hilarious, but it's almost like, is this real? Like, you're going to ban an entire film in an entire country, specifically a country that, I mean, outside of the U.S., like, they are the movie goers, you know?
Yeah.
Because of one scene, I think you guys said, right? It was just one scene with Bruce Lee. And Brad Pitt.
One little bit where Bruce Lee isn't as powerful as people, I think he is.
Look, do I want to see Bruce Lee bend water? Yeah, man. But, you know, take the wins with the losses.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into the topic. And the topic this week is October movies. We wanted to say October movies because we didn't want to exactly say horror movies, because I think both you and I are probably going to have some movies on this list that don't exactly fall into the horror movie genre.
Well, yeah, but I think, personally, I feel that my four makes sense for October.
Yeah.
They're a little bit more gory and a little bit, you know, on the goofier side. I think one's a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
But
well, let's get into it. Do you want to throw one on the table, or do you want me to throw one on the table first?
You go.
Me go first? Okay. The first one.
Man, that was
primetime
English there.
The first one I'm going to throw onto the table, and a lot of the movies on this list that I'm going to rattle off are movies that I most likely probably saw during this time of year, or they just fit in a colder time of year, in like the hooded sweatshirt time of year, the nuzzle up next to your loved one time of year. And that being said, the first movie I'm going to put on the list is Audition.
Oh, good Lord.
The perfect movie to nuzzle up next to your loved one. And Audition is a Japanese movie from 1999 directed by Takeshi Miike. And the reason I watched this movie was because back probably in the mid-2000s, I watched one of those like top 10 horror movie things, or like top 100 horror movies. It might have been like an AMC. It was like one of those things where they got all these horror movie icons together and they all put their own two cents into a list of top horror movies, which is kind of like what we're doing right now. But a number of people, including Eli Roth, which I really, really admired at the time. Not so much anymore.
At the time, yeah, at let's the time. Remember.
Yeah. He claimed that Audition was one of the scariest movies that had ever been produced. When that was said, my friend and I made it one of our life's mission to find that movie. It wasn't printed in the United States on DVD. However, we took a trip to Florida, and one of the things that we regularly did was we went to used CD stores and movie stores, and we just kind of combed the aisles for hours. And I was combing the aisles in this podunk used CD store somewhere in southern Florida, and I just saw it out of the corner of my eye, a copy of, I think, a British print of Audition.
Nice.
On DVD. Didn't believe it. Immediately purchased it and left the store with my friend. Went straight to his house, popped it in and watched it. And all I remember is being in the fetal position by the end of the movie. If you haven't seen the movie, I really can't tell you much about it, but it is a banger.
Scary
and
flick.
I've never used the word banger before.
Please don't. Well, yeah. You did just say British import.
Did I? Okay. Yeah. But yeah.
So, all right. Well, I'm going to bounce off of your British import with my British import.
Okay.
This is a shout out to my wife, as it is her favorite movie of all time.
Ooh.
And I just remember it's Shaun of the Dead.
Yeah.
Edgar Wright, masterpiece. I still contend that I think I enjoy Hot Fuzz more, which I'm probably in the minority on that one.
Okay.
I think Shaun of the Dead is still the overall fave.
Yeah. I second that motion. It's one of my favorite movies ever created by human beings.
Yeah, it is. Shaun of the Dead is a near perfect film, but I'll never forget, I was working at Circuit City. You young kids, Google that. I was working at Circuit City, and
was like a Radio Shack? It was Best Buy's like
redheaded stepchild, yeah, legitimately.
Yeah.
Our colors were red and beige, and Best Buy's were blue and beige. But no, I remember I was working at Circuit City back in 2005. And I remember just walking the aisle, and I was like, whoa, bro, they got Shaun of the Dead. And it was $22 for the DVD. And it had the import sticker on it and everything. Yeah. And I just remember picking it up.
Oh, so you never saw it in the theater?
I didn't. I didn't know it was a thing. And then it was,
yeah.
I feel like there was already a cult following by the time I got that import, which was a couple months after its release.
Yeah, that was 2004.
Yeah. 2004, yeah. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. If
was
anyone's
that the first,
seen it, they know how great of a film it is.
Was that the first Edgar Wright movie you saw?
Yes.
I think it's the first Edgar Wright movie a lot of people saw here in the States.
Yeah, I think so. It was the first really exposure to him.
Is it? I think it's his directorial debut other than Spaced, the TV show he did.
Right.
Yeah. And it was the first of the Coronado trilogy, right?
Yeah. Should have been a duology. Is that a thing? Trilogy that last one was rough.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad.
I liked it.
Yeah.
But when you have two heavy hitters Hot Fuzz and Shaun.
Yeah, and Hot Fuzz. I think I saw Shaun of the Dead in the theater.
I envy you.
Yeah, and it was a complete shock to the system. Because I think, I may be wrong, but Dawn of the Dead was around the same time, I think, mid-2000s or maybe before then.
Oh, so the remake?
The remake by Zack Snyder.
With Ving Rhames?
Yeah, with Ving Rhames.
Dude, just say that sentence again. See, it's the Dawn of the Dead remake, directed by Zack Snyder, starring Ving Rhames.
Hey, oof. It's good.
It was actually a good flick.
So I remember seeing Dawn of the Dead, Shaun of the Dead, Passion of the Christ, all these
Jesus, no pun intended.
Really huge, hard-hitting theater experiences, all within a short amount of time. I mean, it was a beautiful time for cinema. And I do second the motion for Shaun of the Dead. So far we have Audition from Japan, Shaun of the Dead. Would you consider that from England?
Oh, yeah.
He's an English director, right?
British, yeah.
You know what's funny is I was taking a look at my list, and I only have one American movie on my list.
I think the other three are American for me, actually.
American for you? Okay, so we have Audition from 1999, Japanese, Shaun of the Dead from 2004, England. And the next movie I'm going to rattle off or add to this list Porky's. It's a Swedish movie.
Oh.
Porky's. I'm going to rattle off a movie from 2008 by director Thomas Alfredson called Let the Right One In.
Oh!
In the original, not the remake. Because there's a U.S. remake that isn't bad. However, it just seems like a shot for shot. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a movie about a young boy who gets bullied and pseudo falls in love with another young girl. And the young girl turns out to be something that she's not. And it's a vampire flick, and it is amazing. I saw that in the theater as well at some art house theater in Chicago, and it blew me away. The remake is okay at the most. There's no reason to watch
remember,
the remake.
I don't remember. I only saw the remake, and I don't remember hating it. Yeah. But
there's this thing with and it may be why most of these movies on my list are not U.S. There's this thing with foreign films, foreign horror films, and to be specific, that especially a Japanese movie where the language is so different and strange to me that it actually adds another layer of intrigue and I don't want to say horror, but
no, yeah,
it adds another layer of me being almost like discombobulated from like what's going on.
Well,
I'm reading it, I'm trying to figure out what they mean.
That was exactly. I remember when we saw the Japanese version of Pulse, and it was like, I understood.
I almost added that to my list, Cairo. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember watching it, and I'm like, okay, you know, like the ghosts are coming through the technology or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like, I'm watching, I'm reading. Like, it takes away, but at the same time, it almost adds to the intensity of what's happening.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I've never really watched a Japanese comedy. I wonder how that would be.
Me either. Well, no, I've seen some Japanese films that are could be considered comedies.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to take a. I can't think right now.
There's a challenge with foreign films in knowing the cultural relativity or knowing the cult like. Just knowing the people culturally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to try to say, like, I want to take a ride on that bull. But for some reason, I wanted to keep saying, like, I want to take a ride on that rodeo. Like, what the fuck is wrong with me, man?
Okay. So we got Audition, Shaun of the Dead, and Let the Right One In. So far, no U.S. movies. What do you want
to throw on the table? Okay, I'm going to drop this bomb on you. Now, this is not a horror movie, but as I said, mine... More like for me, I don't know what it is about like the fall, but like gory things. I don't know, maybe because Halloween, you expect them.
Yeah.
So like,
you expect more intensity maybe.
Yeah. And this is one of my all time favorite flicks. And for some reason, I always watch it when it's, when it's colder outside. And that movie was released in 1987. And it's about a guy who gets blown to bits and then comes back as a cop, a robotic cop, a
short
RoboCop,
too.
If you will.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah, RoboCop. I always end up watching it. It's usually around like October, November.
Yeah.
It's just like a fall movie for me. And it's weird. It's one of my favorite films. But at the end of the, like every time I watch it, I am like, it's one of those movies where like, I know what's going to happen. I know the like everything about the film, but it's always like, Do you have a movie like that where you watch and you're like, God damn, that's like such a good movie.
Yeah.
Like it surprises you how quite good it is for what it is.
Yeah.
And that is the exact same thing. Like my next movie is the same thing. Like I watch it every time and I'm like blown away at what they accomplished for the time.
Yeah.
Even.
I wonder when you, so what age were you, do you think, when you saw
RoboCop?
When I
saw RoboCop for the first time?
Yeah.
I was like eight.
8 o'clock.
Eight or nine. Yeah.
8 o'clock. Man,
it was 8 o'clock on a Wednesday.
So 8 or 9 years old. I wonder if you saw it during that time of year. I wonder if you saw it.
I might have. I mean, I definitely didn't see it when it came out in July of 1987.
Yeah.
Three Tails might have.
Yeah.
He was probably 30 at the time. Yeah.
Defend yourself, Three Tails. I wonder if the, because there's such, whenever you speak of RoboCop, you speak with such like warmth and nostalgia.
Which is kind of fucked up. I mean, the warmth part, like,
yeah.
It shouldn't bring me as much comfort as it does, considering the material, but, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if you, well, you probably saw it at a prime age, and you probably saw it, I'm guessing you relate it to this time of year, maybe because it's like a jump start into the holiday season and family stuff going on.
Yeah, well, let's do that.
Are we getting too deep?
I think we are. I like it.
Okay, so we've listed four: Audition, Shaun of the Dead, Light the Right One In, and RoboCop. All classics, I think.
So far.
Yeah, so far. To bounce off of what you said about thinking a movie is almost perfect when you're watching it, or thinking a movie is perfect when you watch it, I'm going to throw in, I had to throw in a modern movie. And it's a movie that I watched, I think, last year around this time. And it, I went into it not expecting much because of the director. And I went into it not expecting much just because I don't really expect much from horror.
Fantastic Four from Josh Trank?
Yes.
Dude. Yes.
It was the scariest movie I've ever seen.
Yeah, suck on a Trank.
No, the movie I'm throwing on the table is A Quiet Place.
I know, I still haven't seen
you
it.
You still haven't seen it. I remember towards the end of the movie thinking to myself, this is a perfect film.
Wow.
It was, it's perfectly paced, it's perfectly shot, it's perfectly directed, perfectly acted. Emily Blunt, if I had the sound effect, I would use it. But
I can't do a saxophone. Sorry.
And even the girl, I think her name was Millicent Simmons. She's a, I think she's partially deaf and she plays a deaf girl in the movie. The rules that they set out for the universe that Krasinski built with the movie, they're amazing. And I can't really, they are doing a second one. Okay. And what gets me about Krasinski and this movie is that whenever he's asked about this movie, the topic of genre always comes up. The topic of it being a horror movie always comes up. And he always, I don't want to say he badmouths horror, but he always says he didn't want to direct a horror movie. And he doesn't want to direct any more horror movies.
Okay.
However, he wrote a beautiful horror movie that almost like, if I had to really put it in a genre, like I would put it with that, it's not a zombie movie. However, I would put it in a genre with like, Let the Right One In, but The Last of Us.
Okay.
It kind of feels like that same apocalyptic feel to it. But Let the Right One In from 2008. A Quiet Place from 2018 is very high on my list of horror movies.
Okay. Wait, can you...
Especially for
recent movies. Can you say Emily Blunt again?
I can. A Quiet Place starring John Krasinski and Emily Blunt. Oh, jeez. That's not the horn we were looking for.
Damn it!
Cool. So now we have...
Jesus.
Oh, man.
I'm sorry. We're going to have to edit that out. I just shit my pants. Oh, that was a sensitive button.
It stinks so quickly in this room. So we have Shaun of the Dead, Audition, A Quiet Place, Let the Right One In, RoboCop. What can you add to that list?
This is going to be a film that I'm probably going to get shit for. It's a cliche Hollywood Halloween flick, but it's weird. Like it kind of became a tradition, and my wife still gives me shit about it. But I think it was another one of those movies where, when I saw it at the time, I was like, "Bro, this movie is the shit," and it is a movie from. It's a November movie, so it's released in the fall. Okay. And I do remember seeing this, I'm pretty sure, like when it came out.
Okay.
That would make me, I think I just turned 13. And it was directed by my favorite director, Tim Burton.
Okay.
I don't mind him. But Sleepy Hollow, starring Johnny Depp and Christina Ricci. I
hear people talk about this movie with great fondness all the time.
It probably is my favorite Tim Burton movie. Okay. Like, it's weird, but not like...
Bite your tongue.
Why? What else?
What about...
Alice in Wonderland?
I say bite your tongue, and I can't think of anything. No, Dumbo.
Come on. Okay, keep going.
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
He did that?
Yes, he did.
All right, well, shame on me. Okay, this is his best creepy movie. Well, no, Pee-wee's...
Yeah, Pee-wee's Big Adventure is
But yeah, like... It's just like the pacing's well done. Like, Johnny Depp is, you know, he's good in it. I love Christina Ricci.
Yeah.
I love...
I forgot Christina Ricci's in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good film, a good cast. There's a lot of good actors in that movie.
Yeah.
Specifically, like, oh, shit, the guy from Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Is what's her name in the movie? The woman that he always tapped into?
Who was
in
Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah, is she in the movie? I just saw a clip of her in Cinderella last night, and it was kind of creepy.
I don't know if she plays one of the witches. Like, one of the sisters, maybe?
Probably.
She might have cameoed, but I don't think she was anyone prominent in the film.
I was strangely attracted to her her ape in Tim Burton's Planet of the Apes movie.
Moving on.
Can we not move on? Can we talk about this some
dude,
more?
Dude, I don't... Dude, yeah, if anything, we're not going to...
It was the hands.
Man, that is bestiality. Now I'm picturing the hands.
Long, nubile fingers.
Okay. yeah. All right, we're going down a dark path real quick here, Chewy. I mean, but yeah, I didn't want to end on the cliche Halloween movie, so I got one more in the tank.
Okay, so Sleepy Hollow.
Yeah.
What year was that?
1999. And that's another one. Like, what was the first one? Shaun of the Dead. Not that it needed to be graphically, like, good, but, like, we now live in an era where, like, Endgame exists.
Yeah.
And Star Wars is coming out, and it's probably going to blow our balls off all over again.
Yeah.
But, like, these movies, like, I know I always talk about this movie because it's my favorite of all time. Jurassic Park was 91, 93.
Yeah.
I know it's embarrassing I don't know that, but
yeah.
The date changes in my mind.
Yeah.
But, like, Sleepy Hollow is 99, and the graphics are pretty, like, they hold up very well. Okay. RoboCop, you know, for what it is, it kind of does. But Shaun of the Dead, like, those, they're all older flicks that still, like, they don't really date themselves too badly.
Yeah. I hope for RoboCop's sake, for that remake that's coming out, directed by...
Blomkin?
Blomkamp? I hope for that release's sake, they use stop-motion animation.
For Ed 209?
For something. They have to use it for something, and it has to be just unapologetically stop-motion so that you see it and you get those warm, tingly feelings that you got when you saw the first RoboCop.
Okay.
Yeah. And going back to Shaun of the Dead, can we spoil stuff?
I feel like the movie's been out for...
2004.
Right? Yeah, 15 okay. years.
This isn't going to be much of a spoiler, but the one thing that blew me away about that movie, because I think I saw that multiple times in the theater because of this one aspect of the movie.
Dude, rub it in, man. I didn't get to see it in theaters.
I'm sorry. Is that three times in that film, it goes from extreme horror to extreme comedy.
Yes.
To extreme emotion. To almost to the point where I think I might have welled up two or three times in that movie. I think you have the father scene where the father's dying in the car, which leads into the mother scene where he
mother
has to
guys.
Shoot his mother in the head with a shotgun. And then
Jesus. It's not funny.
And then
and it's not funny in the movie, but when you say that sentence out loud, it's startling.
Yeah. And then at the end, the initial loss of
Ed.
Frost's character. So it's like those three arcs where it was like extreme horror, extreme comedy, extreme emotion were just brilliantly played in that movie. And I think that's probably why I saw it multiple times in the theater and almost immediately picked it up when I saw it come out on home.
I wonder if that's out on 4K. I should buy it if it is.
Maybe.
It's probably not.
Yeah.
Just like Team America.
Yeah. You know what's funny about Edgar Wright is I was thinking of Baby Driver yesterday because I was driving home from work and on my radio that was playing my music library on random, it played Kiss, Baby Driver. And I wondered why...
That wasn't in the movie?
I wondered why that wasn't in the movie. Then I listened to the song and I kind of figured out why it wasn't in the movie.
Hey.
It's a shitty song.
Hey, man.
Anyway, I forgot where I was going with this. Oh, Baby Driver.
Can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah, let's talk about it for a second.
Do you feel that movie has diminished since?
Yes. Like, that movie came out, hit hard, blew me away, and then has diminished ever since the fiasco with
Spacey. It's
man. Really sad.
It is.
Yeah.
It's a good flick, dude. Yeah. John Hamm in that movie is amazing.
Yeah. The movie's just amazing in general. The like, it's almost Edgar Wright has been getting better and better and better and better, and that's he's at the top of his game with editing and music placement and cinematography and everything. And it's a shame that that movie kind of gets overlooked now, because when you look at the list of actors that are in the movie, you always see Spacey towards the top. They've probably shifted him towards the bottom now. Like if you go on like to a
I don't think he's on movie, the list.
Is it even streaming anywhere?
Baby Driver? I don't know.
I have not seen it anywhere.
Yeah, it's like starring like everyone in the movie, then they're going to hit the janitors and they're like, oh, by the way, featuring Kevin Spacey. Yeah. So.
Who's actually on screen for a lot of that movie.
Yeah, he is.
Who's actually plays the character that people kind of portray him as in those. And I think, wasn't it, what's his name from Walking Dead? The guy that you said you met.
Oh, John Bernthal.
Yeah, John Bernthal. I think John Bernthal like came out and said like, oh no, he was a dick. He was a complete asshole. Okay, moving on from the negativity. So we added Sleepy Hollow to the list. You said you have one more, right?
I do.
Okay. I'm going to add this movie to the list from 2005 from Neil Marshall, a guy who went on to direct some episodes of Game of Thrones, and a guy who went on to, I think, I forgot what he's directing now. He's directing something big now. But the movie, we'll have to look it up.
Neil Marshall?
Neil Marshall. He did Dog Soldiers, which is an amazing British horror movie about werewolves and soldiers.
Oh, yeah. He just did the new Hellboy?
Did he do the new Hellboy? Oh, shit.
I don't know. I
think he did. Anyway, the movie I want to...
No, it might have been the good Hellboy.
No, it wasn't the good... All the good Hellboys were Guillermo del Toro. I think I actually pronounced that name pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to try to do it again.
His big one is... Hellboy.
The Descent from 2005.
Fuck you, man.
I remember seeing this movie, not in the theaters, but at home on disc, you know, before streaming services. And I remember the movie felt like it was squeezing me down progressively throughout the runtime of the film. So at the beginning, I think you meet a group of Australian girls, I think, I can't remember, but English or Australian girls.
Yeah.
You meet these girls, and they're going spelunking or something like that.
Because nothing ever bad happens in a cave, Chewy.
Yeah. So they go cave diving, and the movie just takes you. It's almost kind of like Alien, the first Alien movie, where it just gets progressively.
Then it becomes Aliens.
More claustrophobic, to the point where the claustrophobia doesn't allow you to escape the fear that you feel when you see these crazy monsters that Neil Marshall throws at your face. But yeah, The Descent blew me away. I remember showing that movie to my sister, and I remember her being very upset with me for a couple of days, because I think I hit play at like 10 p.m. one night and said, hey, sit down and watch this, and then I left. And I remember coming back, and I don't think she talked to me for a couple of days.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I do remember.
It's a brutally
absolutely
scary
loving that
movie.
Film.
Yeah.
Well, it's scary, but then I don't know. I feel like there's a turn in that film where it's just like the girls are just like, fuck this. Like, let's just take our pickaxes and start going to town.
Yeah.
Because doesn't that happen in the movie? Like, were they like kind of like, it's not like, it's
still
scary.
A couple of them survive, maybe. Yeah.
They do not. I can confirm that. But like the ones who do live, or at least the ones who are still alive, are like, they start fighting back.
Yeah.
You know, and that was, I don't know, I always kind of wish that would happen in more horror movies.
Yeah. There was a movie that came out just recently. It was like 47 Meters Down, I think, or the 47 Meters Down sequel. I don't remember what the tagline to it was, but people were complaining that that movie felt like a retreading of The Descent, because it was girls going cave diving, getting into the caves, getting underwater, and then sharks came out.
Yeah.
Which is pretty much just a carbon copy of The Descent.
It's weird that you just said that, because I was going to say that The Descent for me was what Jaws did to the ocean, the Descent did to caves for me. Like, I don't know if I ever wanted to ever go into a cave ever.
But if you're ever on some resort vacation with your wife in the future, or you take your family to, say, Mexico or the Dominican Republic, well, we'll probably never go there again.
Wow.
And there's some expedition, and there's expeditions to choose from. If you ever see a cave diving one, you'll probably say no.
I'll probably say no.
Do you know how I know this?
Because I'll wipe my ass with that picture.
Because I went on vacation with my wife last year, and she asked me if I wanted to go cave diving.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to shake hands with the devil?
Yeah.
Then go cave diving.
Yeah.
I say, fuck that.
Okay.
So is that your last one? Do we do four?
I actually have a couple more I could throw on the table if we need to, if we have some time. But what else do you have to throw on there?
Okay. I'm going to take you back in time to one of the greatest days in human history.
Oh, jeez.
My 11th fucking birthday.
Wow. Okay.
So I can't confirm nor deny that I saw this film on my 11th birthday, but I did see it around the time of my 11th birthday.
Okay.
It was...
Is this a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, it's one of the greatest films of all time.
Okay.
Again, for a film that is fully aware of what it is and what it tries to do, to me it is a perfect film. And again, this is another one where 1997, you know, computer generated images were not at their peak yet.
Yeah.
But I still watch it and I'm like, "Damn, that's pretty good for 97."
97. I can't.
Yes.
I can't figure it out. Please give me 4.
Police Academy 3.
Oh.
No, Starship Troopers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
That, for the longest time, and it still is.
That movie will never be removed from my top 10.
When you say watch a movie and think of it as perfect, that movie is perfect for
me. It is.
I saw that in the theaters with my friends, and we were blown away by the effects. The bug effects were... next level.
And I'm telling you, like, that's the thing. Like, I just watched that movie, wait, so a couple months ago, and I was just like, what the f-? Like, let me just put it this way. About 5 years ago, I was watching it. What was that? 2014. And I'm watching it. Yeah. I'm like, when did this movie come out? Like, 5, 6 years ago? I'm thinking it's like 2010. 2009, 2010. When I found out that movie was 97.
97, wow.
It blew my head off.
I was just like, looking that up. Wait, so what year is Jurassic Park then?
I feel like it's, I want to say it's 93.
We're gonna pull that up because, yeah, 1993.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh,
so Jurassic Park had a good 5, 6 years on Starship Troopers, but Starship Troopers took some of that tech and
for
really
what it is,
ran
like,
with it.
Starship Troopers is a good movie, but I don't know if I would have guessed it to be like a, you know, $200 million budget film, but I don't know. It's near flawless for me.
Yeah. No, it is. The soundtrack?
Oh,
cast?
The little want to know more. Like, all of that is flawless.
Yeah. Well, that's because of, what's his name, the director, Paul Verhoeven. He was a...
What else did he direct, by chance?
RoboCop?
Yeah, he did.
He also directed Total Recall, I believe.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. That's number, like, 7
Where
on my list.
Where is that guy?
I don't know.
Why isn't he gracing us with his beautiful art? He probably made a bunch of money, got old, and said, screw it.
He's only 81.
I mean, only 81?
He could still churn out some hits.
He can roll out of bed, write a script.
Well, if he rolls out of bed, he might break some shit.
Okay, cool. So Starship Troopers. Yeah, Starship Troopers blew us away when it came out in 97. I think I saw that multiple times, too, in the theater. Okay. So I'm going to end this list. Do you have any more? Or is that it?
I don't.
Okay, I'm going to end this list on a movie that changed my life in terms of brutality.
Short Circuit 1?
Close. It's Police Academy 2.
God!
No, it's a brutal film. No.
It was.
A movie that brutally came out. Actually, I don't want to say brutally came out. It came out, and it was one of those movies that was on multiple lists of movies you had to see. And I remember one of my best friends, like older or younger aunt, almost like a sister,
okay,
just said, you have to see this movie.
American?
No, this is a Korean movie. And this movie opened up the door to brutality at a specific, at a very ripe age. And I believe I was maybe 18, 19, maybe early 20s when I saw this. And it completely blew the doors open for me. And this movie is Old Boy.
Yep. Yep.
The original.
Yep.
Do not see the remake.
Josh Brolin.
Yes. And I do remember. Yes. And I do remember seeing this original Old Boy movie in November, like, or right at the beginning of November, right after Halloween. And it is another movie where I ended up in the fetal position. Like, we're at the end of the movie.
Oh, no, it was fucked up.
Yeah.
I remember, like, I remember you telling me to watch it, and I watched it with the wife. Mistake number one. Mistake number two was not fully grasping what I had just hit play on.
Yeah.
I mean, it is an intense film. Is it a horror film?
No, but there's brutality to it.
Yeah, that there is.
In the way the story is told, and what's in the gore that you see, and the violence, and in the turn of events that happens at the end of the movie. It opened up my universe to the world of Park Chan-wook.
Yep.
And Oldboy is actually the second film in a trilogy.
I remember you saying that. What?
Yeah. But you don't have to, but it's not a trilogy that's really tightly woven
it's
together.
Like the Cornetto trilogy almost.
It's like the Cornetto trilogy. So it's a vengeance trilogy. So there's Sympathy for Mr. Vengeance, there's Old Boy, and then there's Lady Vengeance. I remember very quickly after seeing Old Boy hunting out the other movies and really liking them, but not liking them as much as Old Boy. And then just following Park Chan-wook's career throughout the years, and everything he puts out has almost everything has an air of beautiful violence to it. So I'm trying to remember the name of the movie that I wanted to tell you about. They all have this beautiful violence to them, including this movie called, I'm not going to remember it. I'm a Cyborg and That's Okay. It's a movie that's never been released here. It's a Korean movie about a girl who is in an insane asylum because she thinks she's a cyborg. And she meets a boy in the insane asylum who thinks he can fly. And I think he believes he's a superhero. And it's a love story between two insane people. And there's some beautiful violence at the end of that movie, too.
Jesus.
I don't know how I got off on that tangent. But Old Boy by Park Chan-wook from 2003 also opened up my eyes to Min-sik Choi, who played the main character, Odesu, who is in a ton of...
Oh, he's in a bunch of flicks.
What's that flick? I think you turned me onto it. There's a lot of head trauma in it.
Yes.
It's another South Korean movie.
Was it The Man from Nowhere?
Not The Man from Nowhere. There's The Man from Nowhere,
what,
and then
the
there's his name is Min-sik Choi. So MINSIK space CHOI.
I'm not gonna lie to you, but I pretty much spelled that on point. Damn it. I know this guy. Yeah, what was it? Oh, it was Lucy.
Oh, he was in Lucy. I saw the devil. That
was
movie
a good
was
flick
brutal
too.
Yeah,
it was.
Yeah. Old Boy opened up my universe to South Korean cinema. And South Korean cinema at the time was full of ripe vengeance movies. And I think they just had almost like we have our ebbs and flows here with the like sci-fi and superhero. Superhero is just ebbing. It's flowing.
Ebb real it's good. Flowing. Yeah, ebb's a low one.
Yeah.
Why did I just sing it? You just made me sing it wrong. Damn it.
But yeah, they went through a course of vengeance movies, and Old Boy kicked it off, and it's... I don't know if I'm really into them anymore, though.
Yeah.
I went through a phase in my life where I hunted out brutality and violence and darkness in movies. Did you go through that or no? No?
I don't know. Yeah, I did. In high school.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember... I think it was high school when I saw the original Dawn of the Dead, and I just like remember like that was like kind of the kickoff of like zombies and horror flicks, and I think that was around the time 2005, maybe that's when like the zombie it was cool to like zombies again.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, definitely my brutality was more direct. It was more like Old Boy, dude, that movie fucked me up.
Yeah.
All I can remember is the fly on the train. Like.
Oh, yeah.
Like that shit. I'm just like,
man. Spoiler alert.
Suck it, listeners.
Yeah, I remember there was I have a really good friend who at the time, I had no idea had a insect phobia. and I handed him
what
Old Boy.
What the fuck, man? That shit you gotta ask.
Yeah. Well, you don't just... It's like,
look, dude, are you afraid of flies? Why? Ah, you'll be fine.
Well, no, that movie has more than just the flies. That it movie does. Has the bugs crawling yep. out of the skin. I think he... Yeah. He was mad at me. He was upset. Like, visually shaken. And I still feel sorry to
probably
this
handed
day.
You that back and just punched right in the yeah. Adam's apple.
Almost to the point where, like, years and years and years later, I remember seeing another movie. And I can't remember which one it was, but it was another horror movie. And he's really into horror movies. And I remember calling him up, or not calling him up, but sending him a message and telling him, check this movie out. And I think his first question was, like, are there bugs in it? I'm like, nah, yeah, sorry, don't check it out. And I can't remember what the movie is. Shit.
Was it that weird one with the violin?
Oh, no, it wasn't that one.
Okay, because yeah. I'm not going to ever watch that one.
Yeah. You never saw that one?
No.
Okay. Okay, so let's review this list to put a bow on this one. So we have, and this is not in order of how we did it, but we have Shaun of the Dead from 2004 from England. We have Old Boy from 2003 from Korea. We have The Descent from 2005 from England. We have Audition from 1999 from Japan. We have A Quiet Place from 2018 from America. We have Let the Right One In from Sweden in 2008. Is RoboCop a Hollywood film? Yeah, right? I mean, Paul Verhoeven, I think, is a German director.
Yeah, but it was, I think it was U.S.
Yeah, so RoboCop, what year was that? Do you remember?
87.
87. So RoboCop from 87, Sleepy Hollow, 1999 from America, and Starship Troopers from 1997, which I think is probably my favorite film on this list.
Respect.
So thank you for remembering that one.
Medic!
Yeah. So all you listeners have a...
I feel like if we don't say Medic at least once when we mention that movie on the cast,
yeah,
we're doing ourselves a disservice.
I wish you had your saxophone ready because I had a crush on Diz.
Oh, who
I
didn't?
I don't know why, though.
Could you imagine Diz and Denise Richards?
Could I imagine?
Time? Can you?
I think I did. I don't anymore.
Is it getting hot in here?
It is. It's very hot in here. It's actually very cold in here.
Not anymore.
Yeah. So we have a choice to end this cast. Do you want to do a scary story or do you want to do a poll? It'll be a quick poll.
Let's do a poll.
Poll? Okay. Sorry, Three Toes, that we're going to do this poll. Very quick. First thing that pops to your head. What's your favorite menu item on Taco Bell's menu?
Cheese quesadilla.
Cheese quesadilla. Top of my head right now, I'm going to say cinnamon twists.
What a douche.
I only say that because cheese quesadilla is my favorite too.
Respect.
So yeah.
Fist bump.
Yeah, hey, Three Toes, what do you think? Oh, man.
How about a double-decker taco from 1992, you son of a bitch?
Well, on that note, thank you for listening. This was a quick cast again. We'll see you next time. Remember to always keep your ankles in it.
Keep them in there. Leave them in that shit.